Sister so-and-so cooked it, I'm going to eat it. But Nehemiah, amen, he had no choice in the matter. When they brought the king food, amen, Nehemiah had to get him a fork and taste some of that food. And if the king looked at him, if he didn't fall down, king said, the food is all right. When he tasted the wine, hello, somebody, or the water, amen. If Nehemiah didn't fall down, say the water or the wine is all right. This brother had a dangerous job. I don't think none of y'all would want that job. I don't think nobody would say, hey, look, I want Nehemiah's job. Woo! My God, my God. Y'all come on in, yeah, praise God. Amen. There's often difference between us. Amen. 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 What you do for a living and who you are as a person. What you do for a living, amen, doesn't have nothing to do with you as a person. I wonder, can I get a witness? Ain't God all right? Amen, amen, amen. Nehemiah spent 3 days, amen, in Jerusalem. During the night, he inspected the situation. You got to inspect the situation. Hello, somebody, the leader, the pastor, have to inspect the situation. We got some members, they're going to inspect nothing. And see, bolts falling off the building, they ain't going to inspect nothing. Hello, somebody. Maybe that's not yet. It might be amen at that church down on 49, yonder somewhere. You inspect the situation. You got to inspect it. You got to inspect and see how much money in the treasury. See, amen, if somebody is trying to skimp and scam, praise God, hell, I know that's not yet. Amen, he keep his plan on the rep. Some people got plans. The first thing they're going to do is spill it out.
This is Pastor Dunkley. I hope our message has been a blessing to your heart. I'd like to give you the calendar of events of the Mount Olive Baptist Church. Sunday school, 9:30 a.m. Worship service, 11 o'clock. Lord's Supper observed every second Sunday at 11 o'clock. Midweek service on Wednesday night at 6 p.m. If you would like a copy of the tape you have just heard, you can reach us at 1410 Cathy Street, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71303. Or phone me at area code 318-448-3448. It's going to be all right. You be blessed in the Lord. Amen.
This is the 70,000-watt voice of the community. KAYT. Gina Alexandria.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast. Brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church. Pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II. One church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
The Lord, get your Bibles and stand on your feet in honor of the word of the Lord. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you afresh now for once again another opportunity to hear your word. Let the Holy Ghost do as only he can. Let him go into the text and tailor it so that every hearer's heart might hear and heed what you have to say. Lord God, we pray that you would be glorified, Jesus magnified, your people edified. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. We are engaging in every member evangelism, and I thought it would be helpful today to help the believers see in Scripture what we should have to be worthy witnesses. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 is our launching scripture, and it's helpful for us to see how we can be what God wants us to be as relates to sharing the gospel, the love of Jesus Christ, our Savior, with the world. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated. I do believe that as much as some people love the Lord Jesus Christ, have been in church for a mighty long time, witnessing seems to scare many of the saints. The thought of going up to someone, asking them, are they saved? Do they know the Savior? Or giving them an invitation to life is not a thought that many of us relish. May I suggest to you that when you became saved and a part of the family of God, it became your responsibility to introduce that same Savior to others, to be the mouthpiece to say to others, to show to others, the Savior of the world, the one who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And so I think it's important to understand that for you to be all that you ought to be as a believer, that you got to learn to incorporate and to include almost daily, as the Spirit gives you unction, the ability to witness on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's wonderful and good to shout and hear on Sundays, but you got to take it to the streets. You got to take it outside of these four walls. As a matter of fact, there are a lot of people who will never follow you here, so you're going to have to take the church there. There are many folk who don't know Jesus, but they know you. And it is your responsibility to introduce the Jesus in you to them. And so what's important is to know and understand it from a biblical perspective. I'm not talking about feelings and emotions and all the rest of that. I'm talking about knowing Jesus from Scripture and being able to present him to the world by the Scripture. Now, first of all, Acts 1 and 8 gives us to understand several things. But before we deal with Acts chapter 1, verse 8, let's move to verse 7. Because Jesus is dealing with those to whom he speaks concerning God's will and knowing God, having all things in his own time, including all of the knowledge of when the Son will return, when he will in this earth, etc., etc. And he used the word power in his own power at the end of that verse, verse 7. But that word power comes from the Greek word exousia, which means authority or jurisdiction. And in verse 8, Jesus uses the word power again, but it is a different root meaning in the word power in verse 8, which comes from the word dunamis, which is the same primitive etymological word that we get dynamite from. Now, the etymology of that word means the ability to affect things. And so when Jesus says, but ye shall receive power, dunamis, or the power that causes things to explode, erupt, or be changed by very definition of its presence and activity. In other words, the believer should have a witness that's explosive, powerful, life-changing. I guarantee you, you light a power, a stick of dynamite, you don't even have to hold it, just sit right by it, and it'll change your life. See, what you've got to understand is that this word power carries several connotations connected with it. And with this word and with the witness, there are three things that this power helps you to do. One, it creates excitement. Just like dynamite creates excitement. Wherever you light it at, it creates excitement. It can be one person, it can be a million people. It's going to create excitement. Your witness ought to create excitement. In other words, there ought to be something about what you're saying that is so different from what people have heard and is hearing that it changes the inner part of them that makes them want to no longer be the same. In other words, there must be an effect upon them that touches them in such a way that they will either be drawn or driven from what you're saying. Never, ever should they be the same when you get through talking. Now, in this excitement, listen, it is exciting for the one who's speaking. The person who's speaking is exciting because of what they are saying, the content. That is the evidence of what they are saying, the material of what they're not talking to be talking. They're talking some good truth. So that in itself gives revelation and understanding to the hearer. So it's exciting. But also, if you've been touched by them, you'll be excited. And there's nothing more boring than a believer trying to witness and they are boring. And they are just humdrum with no life, with no nothing in them that says that this is exciting and life-changing. In other words, it doesn't sound like the truth. And if it doesn't sound like the truth by way of the truth teller, then what makes you think it's going to be exciting to the one who's hearing it? But the power of what Jesus Christ has done in your life is that causes excitement through the Holy Ghost, which means your witness is exciting and you're excited and it creates excitement. That's power. Somebody say power. That's the kind of power that make people want to hear what you got to say. Because even the way you tell it has something that they couldn't just sit on that if they wanted to. Matter of fact, if you catch somebody on fire and you watch them burn, there's nothing about you that'll make you just sit there and look at them. Just watching them creates an excitement all about them, even in the burning. And so Jeremiah, when he did not want to tell the word of God, did not want to express the word, God stirred his word in Jeremiah until the fire in him kept him from sitting down, kept him from being boring, kept him from saying nothing. In other words, the Holy Ghost stirs you up where you don't have to think of what to say. He gives you through your own experiences what you ought to say. So excitement is the first part of that. But then the second thing is engagement. This power creates engagement. Because how many times have we known what to say, but we just couldn't get engaged in saying it? I mean, we just couldn't bring ourselves to touching someone and say, listen, do you know Jesus? It's just been moved up on my heart to share with you, do you know Christ? We cannot engage ourselves that way. That's the power of the Holy Ghost. That's why Jesus says, but ye shall receive power. But the power is going to come after the Holy Ghost comes. Listen, the power is a byproduct of the Holy Ghost. So if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you don't have Holy Ghost power. And you need Holy Ghost power to do what Jesus is saying do, to be a worthy witness. Listen at this well now. Because that Holy Ghost power will engage you when in the natural you no wise would open your mouth and say something to some people. You're looking at somebody that's looking mean and ferocious at you, and the Holy Ghost will come upon you and say, do you know Jesus? What? Jesus. Man, if you knew Jesus, you wouldn't look like that. And they might buzz out laughing like, what you talking about? See, some folk don't even know how mean and ugly they look looking at you. But you ain't afraid of their faces. God told Isaiah, I'll make your head. And Jeremiah, your head stronger than theirs. You will have a determination greater than theirs. You're not going to let that you see make you afraid. No, you will engage them. You see somebody crying. Oh, Lord, I don't know what to tell them. No, you don't, but he does. but he will allow you to engage them to get them to that point where you can introduce Jesus to them. And so that power gives you the ability to engage folk. But then thirdly, one of the most important reasons for the Holy Ghost power to make you a worthy witness is his effectiveness. See, in order for you to be an effective witness, the Holy Ghost is going to be the one who empowers you to create whatever change is necessary. And listen at this, every case is not the same. It's different. It's different. So that means that his effectiveness is going to be needed to reach the person that you are speaking to presently. The person you just witnessed to may be totally different from the next person you minister to. And so the Holy Ghost is going to give you what that person needs. And you'll be saying stuff and not even clear about the stuff that you're saying, but that person knows you're hitting the nail on the head. And they look at you like, how did you know that? I didn't. The Lord just spoke to my spirit, and I heard the Spirit of the Lord saying to me to say this to you. Listen, the Lord uses those as a worthy witness who are not ashamed to tell the world about what the Lord has done for them. The Holy Ghost simply empowers you. Let me give you a good example. Peter, the one who talked all of that noise in the upper room about it. Though all the rest of these brothers, you know, deny you, betray you, etc., you don't have to worry about me. You've got me to back you up. Yeah, okay, Peter. And Peter kept on talking. Jesus said, listen, before the cock crows, you will deny me three times. Well, now, listen, Peter did not have the Holy Ghost. He did not have the Holy Ghost. And three times, being heated by the wrong fire, he denied the Lord Jesus Christ. But then Peter received the Holy Ghost. And then he stood outside the gates of Jerusalem and declared, when he was afraid to tell three, he spoke out and told 3,000 about the life-changing resurrection power of Jesus Christ. You see, with the Holy Ghost, you'll do things you would never do without the Holy Ghost. You'll say things you'll never say without the Holy Ghost. And so you've got to realize that the Holy Ghost is necessary for you to be a worthy witness. Court is held on Jesus every day around the globe. And when you are called as a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus wants you to be a star witness. He wants you to be somebody who can represent him right. As a matter of fact, you bring indictment against Jesus when you try to represent him and don't have the Holy Ghost. That's why your witness is so weak and so worn and so wearied, because you're so afraid what they're going to ask you. And I got news for you. You don't have to worry about the opponent or the opposing attorney asking you some questions that'll trip you up. Matter of fact, when you got the Holy Ghost, Jesus said, in that same hour, you don't have to have a script. You don't have to go there with what you've got planned to say. When they put you on the stand, you just answer the question, because the Holy Ghost will give you what you need to say. You have a direct connection with God. Wouldn't it be good to be on the stand when they're trying to ask you about Jesus? And you might not be listening to no great biblical scholar. You don't have to be that to be a witness. That's not what you're witnessing to. You're witnessing about Jesus and his life-saving power. Listen, you've got to understand, when he calls you as an expert witness, it's on what you're an expert at. Some of y'all ain't getting this. I'm trying to help you understand. When he calls a forensic specialist as a witness, he's going to ask him questions about forensics. If he's calling somebody else up to be this kind of expert witness, he's calling them and will limit his questions to that field. But when he's calling you up as a Christian, you say, all right, bring it on now. Because I can tell you about this. because I know this for myself. And see, this is the kind of thing that you've got to be cognizant about. Some of us are afraid to open up that can of worms because we don't know what to say. And so we avoid the subject altogether. We won't even invite them to church because we don't even act like we go to church. We don't want to talk with folk about Jesus because we've been talking too much other kind of stuff around there that Jesus ain't got nothing to do with. And so we would not be a worthy witness, so we don't really want that to be known that we belong to him. And so the power of the Holy Ghost makes us and our work exciting. It makes it engaging, and it makes it effective. People will not be the same when you, who know Jesus and are filled with his Spirit, talk to them about him. The next point is, he says, and ye shall be witnesses of me. Now, you're going to receive power. But now, after the power, Jesus reveals the purpose. The purpose is that you shall be a witness for me. A witness for me. The Holy Ghost is come upon you to be a witness for me. That's the purpose. In this context, the purpose of that power that he gives you is to be an effective witness for Jesus Christ. He says this, well, first of all, I will be a witness to the fact that he's a prophet, priest, and king. And ye shall be witnesses of me. The three roles that he played in a spiritual and a structured order. Prophet, priest, and king. But it doesn't stop there. And ye shall be witnesses of me. He now enters into, if you've been saved, the role of Savior. If he's Lord of your life, the role of Lord. You keep adding to, if you've been sick and he healed you, the role of healer. If you've been in trouble and he delivered you, the role of deliverer. And it just keeps on going because you are an expert witness of what he's done for you experientially, in addition to his titles and all that he represents. You see, one of the wonderful things about Jesus is he can be some of everything to some of everybody. Now, I don't know him as a deliverer from alcohol and drugs because I've never done alcohol and drugs. But I know him as a deliverer from trouble. Are you hearing me, somebody? I mean, whatever my experience is, and I know that experientially, it may differ from another person, but the Bible makes it clear that I am to be talking about him and what he can do. Why am I doing that? Because there is somebody else just like I was who need to know that what he's done for me, he's got some more of that for them. I need to know that there's somebody else who's having some heart troubles and say he's a heart fixer. I need to know there's somebody else that's got a confused mind and let them know, listen, he's a mind regulator. I need to be able to tell somebody else who was broken, busted, and couldn't be trusted that I called on Jesus and he stepped in and he worked it out. I need to know that there's somebody else other than me that he wants me to tell them that I was in the same place they were in. And they can be in the place I'm in now. Place of peace. Place of joy. Place of happiness, a place of deliverance. All of these things, you, listen, are now capable of sharing that with hurting people. See, it's not until you experience some things that makes you, listen, an expert witness. And that's what the Lord Jesus needs in this world, is some expert witnesses on the stand. I ain't talking about church folk. I'm talking about expert witnesses. I'm talking about been there, done that. I'm talking about people that's not ashamed to tell it. The people that lived in the world and did all they could do in the world, now they've been saved, changed, and transformed, and they're not ashamed to tell what the Lord has done for them, and they will say it just as loud and as proud as they were when they were in the world, and better. Now we put on our religious garbs, and then our tone comes down. No, I'm going to say it loud. I'm saved and I'm proud. Ain't ashamed to say that. On my way to hell, Jesus interrupted the caravan, loosed my fetters and shackles and set me free, picked me up and turned me around. Faced me in a whole new direction with a whole new agenda. That's why I can't sit down and act like I ain't got good sense, because the sense I got it from the Holy Ghost. What I am, he made me. What I know, he taught me. Where I've come from, he brought me. And where I'm on my way to, he'll take me. So when you talk about Jesus, he's a friend. No, I can't let you talk about him like that and he's my friend. No. And so then you see, listen, you're a witness. Here's what you realize. He isn't here to talk about himself. And you're not up there to represent you. So he's up in heaven representing you, and you ought to be down here representing him. So when the devil starts saying all kind of mess that ain't true, you, wait a minute, Mr. Devil. No, you are a liar. Let me tell you some truth. Let me drop some truth on you here and start telling. Listen, all you got to do is shut your mouth and the devil gets stronger and stronger. But when you open your mouth by the aid of the Holy Ghost, you begin to destroy the devil's kingdom. You speak with authority and with power, and you're able to speak those things, call those things that be not as though they were, because there is power, inerrant power that lives within you that comes from the Holy Ghost, that the devil can't do anything about. And listen at this. When you talk about Jesus. See, the Holy Ghost was given for that purpose. So he just sits idly by in your conversation. And he just lets you talk and talk and talk and talk. And he just, But when you say Jesus, now we go. Oh, you didn't hit the subject now. Come on. Bring it on. He's ready, because his assistance is there to talk about. And ye shall be witnesses of me. So listen to this. If you're not talking about Jesus, why then do you need the Holy Ghost? Listen, if you're talking about Jesus, you're going to need the Holy Ghost. Somebody ought to hear me here. You're going to need his power to guide you. You're going to need his power to guard you. You're going to need his power to give you what you need to say. You're going to need his power to do what only he is capable of doing. And so therefore, when you speak of Jesus, the Holy Ghost is readily by to do whatever that's necessary to make this word effective. And ye shall be witnesses of me. And that's everything from what he does for you to what he's done in your soul. A witness.